Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. Special Edition is a production of Intercom Communications.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. This week, we're going to be traveling back in time to 1776. We'll tell you where you can catch that performance. We'll find out about sun safety. Hopefully, we'll be seeing more of that. We'll also find out about preservation in Wilkes-Barre, what's happening on Wilkes-Barre's public square this summer, and what's happening in Luzerne County. Don't let David Pedry, Luzerne County manager, hear you say there's nothing to do. David Pedry, welcome. Luzerne County manager in charge of all these things, but you're going to tell us about good things.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on
today. Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, we have some great things going on at the county. And one of the things I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is a series of concerts we're going to be having down at the riverfront.
Yeah. Now tell us about that, because I just saw recently where the riverfront is getting some thumbs up from people who say a lot of great improvements have been made. Many people don't know where that is, though.
The Riverfront Commons is a $20 million park that was put in by the Army Corps of Engineers right next to the courthouse. It is a once-in-a-lifetime park. We have a beautiful facility here in Luzerne County. And as we were walking it one day, and some people utilize it all the time, it's right across the street from Wilkes, right across the street from King's. And, you know, people use it, but not to the fullest extent. So we were walking it, and we said, what can we do to draw more attention to what we have here? And we started looking at other cities. What do they do? And we hit these riverfront concerts, and they are going to be amazing come this July.
And why does it seem that when other cities, as you mentioned, come up with these things, people flock? You can't get near them. But all of a sudden, even in the Northeast, and I'm just not going to pick on Luzerne County, but other places as well, come up with and say, oh, we have this. And people go, eh.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's a matter of us getting the word out there. I think we're trying to turn a corner as to, I've always said in the past, Luzerne County, northeastern Pennsylvania, has a self-esteem problem. Sometimes I think internally we think that, oh, this place isn't that great. There's nothing to do. But look around at what we have. We do have some amazing things here. When you talk about trails, when you talk about the Poconos, when you talk about all these things, it's right here in Luzerne County, right here in Lackawanna County. There are some great things to do. And, you know, come July, I don't want to hear any excuses, because we have three free concerts. Come out and enjoy yourself with your community. It's going to be a beautiful day. We've already taken the vote. It's not going to rain. We all decided.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. We've already decided on it. The committee's already on it. So nothing to worry about there. But we have.
I want to meet them.
Yeah. But these three free concerts, July 12th, July 19th, and 26th, right there on the riverfront. Why can't we have these things here? And the answer is we can. We got to get the right people in the room to get us there. And that's what we did here.
So we have them together now, and we're going to tell everybody about them and get them all excited about that. But I'm going to come along and say, and where am I going to park?
Well, here's the thing you need to worry about. We have 2,000 free parking spaces right outside of the riverfront. There's parking at the courthouse, parking at the the Luzerne County Garage. Right across the street, there's a chamber parking lot that will be open to the public. There is a ton of parking. And once again, northeastern Pennsylvania, always concerns about parking. But we have a ton of parking right there. And if you don't want to drive, LCTA is running free buses from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m. that night. So if you want to run, if you say, I don't want to drive, I want to have a couple drinks, I don't want to have to worry about parking, take a bus. LCTA, our dear partners in this process, have said, we're going to step up and make sure you guys have the right way to do these things.
Amazing. Now, wait a minute. Drinks? What are you talking about?
So we sat down with the city of Wilkes-Barre, and we sat down with them and said, they're going to ask them to lift the open container law. So the Susquehanna Brewing Company, once again, local Luzerne County Brewery, have signed on to be our beer sponsor. And they are going to be providing alcoholic beverages to those of age. We run from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. So everything's done at 9 o'clock. So you can come down. You can listen to music. It's going to be a nice day out. There's going to be food trucks. You can have a drink. You don't have to have a drink. There's other ways around it. But it's a lovely day out all day.
That sounds amazing. All right. Well, now that you've whet our appetite for this, give us the dates again and who's going to be where.
So on July 12th, this Friday at the Riverfront Park, we're opening up with Yellow Brick Road. They are an Elton John tribute band, similar to what you see on Party in the Patio at Mohegan Sun. National touring group. They've played all over the place. You can see their website from the Luzerne County website. Where do you see what the show they put on? And with the Elton John movie going on right now, it is the most apropos to what we have. So please come out and see them on the 12th. On the 19th, we have a local touring act, The Miz, as well as the National Reserve, who are national touring groups playing bluegrass, country, rock blends, really amazing artists. And the 26th, we have the County Lions. They're going to be opening up as for a Proud Monkey, which is a Dave Matthews tribute band on our last day. Here's the thing. The music is phenomenal. We have some great artists come down here. But it's not just about the music. It's about coming out with your community. We have 5 food truck vendors that'll be there. We have, obviously, Susquehanna Brewing Company. You can hang out. You can have a drink. Sit down with your family. Bring a chair. Bring your blankets. We have some seating areas available on the riverfront, but it's an open area. Come enjoy what we have. Why can't we have it here? We can, and we do, this July. Please come out.
When you first started talking about this, who did you approach? Did you approach people like Luzerne County Council, or did you go into the chamber, or how did you get the response?
Well, the Luzerne County Council handles almost, we run a lot of things through them as well. So we sat down and talked to them. But the biggest response I got was from the Luzerne County Tourism Bureau. Under the direction of Teddy Womple, the Luzerne County Tourism Bureau has really taken on a new direction, a reinvigoration as to what we're trying to be doing in Luzerne County. And once again, drawing attention to the good things we're doing in Luzerne County. I would encourage the public to go to visitluzernecounty.org and see the amazing things that they're doing every single day. So I sat down with the Tourism Bureau and they said, okay, we need the chamber. We brought the chamber in. And the chamber said, we need Cole Creative to do some of the artwork. Okay, bring in Cole Creative, sat down with them. And they said, we need the city of Wilkes-Barre. Okay, we sat down with the city of Wilkes-Barre. We got down with Tony Brooks and the mayor of Wilkes-Barre. And we did all these things. And guess what? Everybody wants to be involved. And we have some amazing people here. So once you start these things going, once the dominoes start falling, we have a beautiful concert all the way around.
Now I'm going to ask you, and I promise I won't tell anyone, anything for the future that is on the back burner?
Well, there's always something going on. We're hoping to have this be an annual series. We're hoping that everybody can always come out here into Luzerne County as to where we want to be doing. And I'll tell you what, Parks and Rec is what government should be doing. Okay, it's a lot more than just audits and budgets and making sure this is done. And, you know, yeah, we have to make sure we have to fill the potholes. We have to make sure we pick up the garbage. Those are things that governments do. But you know what? It's also about the beautification of where we are and who we are in northeastern Pennsylvania. And these steps get us there. So I want to see more events like this. What are we doing to bring the community in? What are we doing to show who we are?
All right. So now I'm going to go on to the other side and say, I don't like this music, Mr. Pedri. I want to hear something else.
Well, listen, there is, you don't have to listen to this music. You can just come out and enjoy yourself. Obviously, if you don't like the music, you don't have to attend, but come on. Open yourself up to new and wonderful types of music. Who doesn't like Elton John? I'd like to meet the person who doesn't like Elton John. Come on now. It's like saying you don't like chicken. I mean, like, who are these people?
because my next question was going to be, it sounds like you're on a roll. So are you willing now to hear from different people in the community who say you had somebody like an Elton John band, you had a Dave Matthews band? We're members of the community, and we'd like to hear...
Oh, yeah, we're definitely interested. Because I'll tell you what, it's just like anything else we do with the county. If people are contacting me and saying, hey, listen, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? That means that they're engaged with their community. That means that they're engaged with their government. And that's a wonderful thing. That's exactly what we want. You and I may not agree on the same type of music or something along those lines. But guess what? We agree on what we're trying to do here. So let's have a conversation.
So you're here and you have the audience's ear right now. How do they get in touch with you, or whether it's the Luzerne County Visitors Bureau, whether it's whomever, to maybe give their suggestions?
I would encourage everybody to go to the Luzerne County website, luzernecounty.org. My contact information is right on my page. You can send me an email. You can give me a call. The Luzerne County Council is obviously also very, very available to the public. And go to visit luzernecounty.org. And when you start scrolling down of the things that we're doing here in Luzerne County, it's truly staggering. I sent the information. I coach baseball and soccer, not well, for my children. but we try our best. And I give that website out every single year. The kids, to the families. And the first thing I hear from everybody is, man, I didn't know we even had all this stuff here. So we do have these amazing things here. We got to utilize them. We got to hit them where we have. And, let's hit that. Let's get that self-esteem up, because it's a wonderful place to grow and a wonderful place to live.
All right. Once again, give us the dates. Give us the who and the what and the where.
July 12th, July 19th, and July 26th this year, 2019, come down to the Millennium Front Circle right next to the Luzerne County Courthouse in Wilkes-Barre. We're going to be having amazing bands, beautiful food, have a drink. It's going to be a sunny day out, and enjoy your community. July 12th, 19th, and 26th.
And what time?
From 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I love the fact that you have already taken care of the weather.
I made some calls.
We'll be talking Wilkes-Barre Preservation.
Welcome
and
back to
Public
Special
Square
Edition.
Next on Special
Tanya
Edition.
Tanya Verkaitis is with the Lackawanna and Luzerne County Medical Societies. They'll be in Public Square Wilkes-Barre this summer, keeping you healthy.
Tell us what you have going on and where we're going to find you. You are both Lackawanna and Luzerne
Correct.
County Medical Societies.
Correct.
So is it one big everybody kind of gets along? Because even though you're in Lackawanna County, do you have maybe some folks from Luzerne who might take part?
They'll definitely participate. And I always invite any healthcare providers from both counties to participate in all of our events. And you will see chiropractors and hospice folks and the health departments from both cities participating in both events. Definitely the best thing to do would probably be to email me. That's info, I-N-F-O, at LuzerneMedSoc. That's M as in Mary, E-D as in David, S as in Sarah, O-C as in Cat, short for Medical Society.
Ah.
But that would be the best place to reach me, .org.
Okay, .org. You're bi-countyous.
I am.
So you're dealing with Luzerne County as well. And Luzerne County, you're actually going to be busy all summer.
Yes.
How much fun is that?
It is a lot of fun. This is the third year we're partnering with the City Health Department on what we call Mondays at the Market. And it is a health fair that happens starting July 8th through August 19th. There's a mini farmers market, not quite the same as Thursdays down there, but we run from 11 to 2. The difference there is that the healthcare providers are rotating during the time that we're there. And we also have CEO participating, making healthy snacks each week, which is nice. And then we have theme days all summer long.
Do you have a couple of things that you can tell us about that you've done in the past that maybe, since you said this will be your third year, maybe people are hearing this and saying, oh, I hope they bring back
yes.
that.
Well, the two biggest days, I think, are our kickoff, which is a kids' day. We give away bike helmets. We show them how to size them properly for the kids. We'll have a magician. We'll have live radio broadcasts, that sort of thing. The last day is always back to school, and we give away backpacks. Last year, my daughters actually did henna tattoos for kids. We had the Binghamton Zoo there. So those are the two biggest days, July 8th and August 19th. In between, we have International Day, Health Screening Day, things like that.
When we're talking about all of the different things that you're going to be involved with then over the summer, for anybody who hasn't been there, maybe there are people new to the area and they're hearing this and they're thinking, well, gee, I'd like to go. So when is it? Where is it? And you said when you start it and when you finish. So it's every Monday?
Every Monday. 11 to 2 p.m., right on Public Square. We take up the whole center of the square, so you'll see the tents and the food vendors and such. They can find more information most easily on the City Health Department page because they post regularly. It'll be on our Facebook page as well, the Luzerne County Medical Society, but those are the best places to look.
It seems as though, again, when we're talking about these things, people are saying, wait, this is July. No, give me a break. We're not there yet. But these things take a little bit of time to put together.
Yes.
And again, you're still accepting people who might want to come and be a part of it?
Yes, for both. So if you email me at info@luzernemedsoc.org, I can send you the links to sign up. For the Mondays at the Market in Wilkes-Barre, that's free to anyone that would like to come and be a health fair participant.
Why did the medical societies feel it was a good idea or even necessary to get involved in these things?
Well, community health is definitely one of our focuses, and anything that we can do to make our communities more healthy, we're happy to do. And especially with these health fairs, because a lot of times people may think, I don't need to go to the doctor, I feel fine. But if you're walking around on a Monday and you happen to see someone doing a blood pressure screening, maybe you'll stop and have that done. And you may find out something you don't like. We hope you don't, but at least it's there for people to participate.
A lot of times people, too, can be a little bit standoffish when it comes to healthcare. Do you think this maybe starts to break down some barriers?
Definitely, because it's fun. You don't have that fear of, oh, I'm going to get bad news. You might win a raffle basket, which is a nice addition as well. But they just make it light and easy and share information. So you don't have to participate in a screening, but at least you might learn some telltale signs. And then you might say to yourself, oh, I think I noticed that symptom within myself. And then maybe you'll go to your doctor or maybe you'll stop for a screening.
So that's another good reason why, again, every Monday it's right during lunch hour. Because you must be getting some pretty good crowds if this is your third year.
Definitely. The kids' days, as I said, are the busiest because obviously the kids come out with their grandparents and such. But we do get that downtown crowd that's coming out for lunch, which is part of the reason why we have food vendors, because we know that they'll be looking for something for lunch. And if we can offer some healthy options, that's nice too.
When you're talking about, you mentioned Facebook pages, and you have a Facebook page.
We do.
So if there's somebody who is listening, maybe not a medical professional, but someone who would like, who might be going down there. What if they have some suggestions?
We would love suggestions. I'm always looking for something new that we can add to make it more fun. Again, as I said, it's not just about health, but also fun. And how can being healthy be fun? Musicians we've had before. I'm looking for hula hoopers.
Hula hoopers?
Yes. If someone wants to come out and teach people how to hula hoop, that would be great. So please contact us.
Yoga? Any of those?
We had yoga last year. We'll probably have yoga again this year.
And all this information is available
on our page, Lackawanna Medical Society. Lackawanna County Medical Society, and that's on Facebook. I'm just now starting to post some of the people that are participating.
How much fun is that?
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Everybody comes out, and that's wonderful that everybody, you know, kind of gets together and just. And what about during the year? As far as I know, the last time that we talked to you here, you were doing some different programs where, do you still have those kind of things going on too?
We do have things going on year round. They change every year. We try to offer as much to the community as possible. And what we try to do is see what is affecting the community right now and then develop programs around that. So actually just last night decided that in the fall we do a medical legal summit and we do invite the public to that. And this year it's going to be on immunizations and vaccines, which I think will be extremely interesting.
Oh, that's been an awful lot about that in the news. There are so many different things that you have coming up. We have to have you back again.
Oh, thanks.
So again, let's get everybody on the same page.
Right.
Starting in July.
Yes, July 8th through August 19th, every Monday, 11 to 2 p.m., Mondays at the Market.
And that's going to be right on
Public Square
in Wilkes-Barre. And if anyone would like to get in touch with you, ask a question, make a suggestion, just get some more details, how do they do that?
Email is always best because I'm always on the road, so I may not answer the phone. That is info@luzernmedsoc.org.
And you also have Facebook?
We do have Facebook. And there's two separate pages if you're looking. So one for Lackawanna County Medical Society and one for Luzerne County Medical Society. But they'll be listed under events on both.
But just remember, you're Ambie Countyous.
Yes.
So if anybody has to get in touch with you, you just, you're all set and ready to go.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Check out Public Square in Wilkes-Barre. Tanya Verkaitis and folks from the Lackawanna and Luzerne County Medical Societies will be there this summer. Now, keeping preservation and the area's history healthy, Tony Brooks, director and curator of the Wilkes-Barre Preservation Society, as well as a Wilkes-Barre council member, joins Intercom's Jason Barsky to tell us what he has in the works.
You are part of this, you're the director. You created it, right? The Wilkes-Barre Preservation Society?
Correct. Me and others I share credit with, yes.
You're working on a bunch of projects, but the latest that you're really kind of trying to get the ball rolling on is the Planters Building.
Correct.
And you had a meeting to talk about the future of preserving that building, but this thing's had a rough history, because I knew Planters started here early 1900s.
1906, to be exact.
Okay, so I nailed that one. The building was there. And there's been kind of a rough past. People, the city sold it to a private developer who was going to save parts of it, but did they tear part of it down?
Yeah, they saved parts and teared part of it down, correct.
And what part are you trying to preserve? What are your plans for this? Because Planters, like it says in the article, and we'd all agree, when you think of, Peanuts, that's the company. They're one of the biggest American brand names.
And it was founded right here in Wilkes-Barre. I mean, so many people don't know that Planters Peanuts was founded in Wilkes-Barre. And then Mr. Peanut, which is the iconic brand that markets the Peanut and Nut Company, was created right here in Wilkes-Barre. And the main headquarters of Planters Peanuts, the building still survives. It's on South Main Street. In Wilkes-Barre. And we gathered, I counted 47 people came from my call for a public meeting to discuss what would you like to be done with the building? Would you want to be on a steering committee, a board of directors of a new nonprofit to take whatever ideas in this room are formulated going forward? And what was so wonderful is how many people love the history of Wilkes-Barre and see it as an economic development potential for our present and our future.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things I've talked about before. It's like just because certain things have gotten dusty or broken down a little bit, restoration's one way to go about it. Preservation, there's so many different ways we can go about shining these things up. And how many people don't know Planters started here? What in a perfect world, though, 10 years down the road, what is at that site of the Planters factory?
Well, here's one vision that I have for it. Most people today want an experience when they go somewhere. So think about it.
Yeah.
A lot of times we go on a vacation to a city that we wish we could live in, right?
Yeah.
So take Cape May. You go to Cape May, you go to the beach, you go to an ice cream shop, you go to the bookstore, you go to a wonderful bed and breakfast and have a great time. And you said to yourself and your wife, your spouse, gosh, I wish that could be like that in Wilkes-Barre. Well, it is already here. And there are people who travel to Wilkes-Barre to see our iconic sites, stay in bed and breakfasts. So what I would love to see is an amazing experience, say, for example, a restaurant called Peanuts.
Cool.
And you have the whole Planters Peanuts experience from 1906 to the present of what it is to be come from an area with Planters Peanuts. So it could be Planters Peanuts memorabilia, it could be part museum, it could be part restaurant. That's one of the examples that could happen there.
I love that because when you start talking, you use Cape May. Anyone who's been to Cape May, almost everyone who's been to Cape May, you mentioned
right.
The beach and all those things. But how many people have you seen wearing ugly mug T-shirts? it's a simple concept. People drink their beer, they put their mug on the wall, and everyone, if you've been there or no.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love it. And Congress Hall and all the wonderful places down there.
So there's all those places that people remember and they go back year for year. Oh, we'll meet you there every summer. I see you there. And we have places like that is what you're saying. I like the idea of the restaurant there. But because it was torn down, I guess you'd have to rebuild to have like a factory experience, correct?
Well, they have a factory experience. But, you know, down in Easton, Crayon Companies with the Crayons have created a museum down there around that brand. Mack Trucks, the old plant for Mack Trucks in Allentown, now is a car museum. So this has been done in various places around the country, and Hershey, it can be replicated right here.
Yeah, Hershey's done a pretty good job with theirs as well.
Correct. Hershey's done a great job, too. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. I love the idea of these things because, you know, what's stopping someone from going, hey, if you get families coming up to, you know, to Easton and they're from wherever, Philly, or they're going from, you know, coming from Jersey, they go to the Crayola factory and then spend a night and then go check out what's in Wilkes-Barre, Planters, peanuts and snacks and things like that. People love that stuff. They love it.
Do you know what happens right now? There are bus tours that come up from Philadelphia, mostly senior citizens who are coming up to see in the fall. They want to see the leaves change in the Pocono Mountains.
Yep.
But they come into Wilkes-Barre, too. Guess what? Get a tour of the Luzerne County Courthouse. The most iconic courthouse in America is right here in Wilkes-Barre. They get a tour of the courthouse. Then they go up to Hillside Farms and get an ice cream. Now, imagine going to Planters Peanuts Restaurant and having dinner, and then they spend the night at the Woodlands and get up in the morning and gamble their quarters away over at Mohegan Sun, then get back on the bus and go to Philadelphia. That is happening already, and that could be happening with even more attractions around Wilkes-Barre and the Wyoming Valley and Scranton.
Yeah, that's the thing. We have a lot, but I think maybe we need to find a way to put a spotlight to, you know, because, you know, you literally see a spotlight and it's like, what is that over there? It must be some sort of big event, some way to get people to go, oh, wait a second. Because I'm telling you, I just feel like we're on that verge of just learning how to harness the past to use it to build our future.
Well, you know, we have a great Convention and Visitors Bureau for Luzerne County, and part of their job is to market our area to outsiders to come here. But you know what? We're also marketing it to our insiders, to the people who already live here,
yep,
to tell others, you know, what is so great already about Wilkes-Barre, the Wyoming Valley, and northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, in other places I lived, I'm trying to think. I know there are examples, but if I were to say, hey, I have family coming in from out of state, they've never been here before, you would say, oh, are you going to take them to?
Well, I say stay at the Hillard House Bed and Breakfast on West River Street, a phenomenal post-Civil War Second Empire house. And then you can take a wonderful walk along the River Common, and of course there's all kinds of restaurants for any kind of taste, ethnicity, nationality. You got all kinds of restaurants that you can go to downtown. But what separates us is what makes us absolutely unique, that unlike any other city, is something like a Planters Peanuts, something like our courthouse, something like the Market Street Bridge. These things don't exist anywhere, and they differentiate us from any other city in America.
You know, and I think like that one thing that people go, oh, because right now, still, like, I use this on the air. I was talking to someone recently, and I want people in 5-10 years to say, oh, you move into Northeast PA. That's awesome. I love blank. Like, if I said I was going to Baltimore, someone might say, oh, the Inner Harbor. You know what I mean?
Correct. Or
I love City Island in Harrisburg. To find one of those things that we can say, that's ours. That's, people come here for that. They all know about it. They all love it. You know, and I think once we figure out what that is and then advertise it. I do have a slogan, by the way. Have you thought about this? It popped into my head right now. That's how my brain works. If we just, like, a campaign that we start that says, like, Planters started in Wilkes-Barre? That's nuts. So simple.
That's true. It is very simple and stuff. And here's another thing about our history that I want other people to embrace. You know, we have this long anthracite history, right?
Yep.
Not our beginning history. We got a colonial history, then we changed from an agrarian society into an industrial society with anthracite. People don't realize that without anthracite coal for that 125-50-year period that we were fueling the Industrial Revolution, we made America. Wilkes-Barre and Scranton made America. So think of what America would have been like without the anthracite coal that we had in this region to fuel the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah,
a completely different place.
And that's something I think that, I don't know if anyone's tapping into that. Like, growing up, I remember my family went to Philly, and we went to Williamsburg, and we saw, you know, the colonial times. But there's a generation after that, the early 1900s, when coal, you know what I mean? Like, why aren't there, like, historical reenactments? Why don't, you know, it would take a heck of an investment, I think, to find a way to have people go, oh, my God, we're going to go check out the Northeast PA coal experience.
Well, you can do it. The thing is, they're not all yet linked together, and we are working on that with the various historic, with the convention and visitors bureaus of the different counties. So, for example, you can do a bus trip and go to Eckley's Miners Village down by Hazleton, and then go up to the coal mine tour in Scranton, and you can get a whole flavor of what it's like to be a coal miner. And you can go down to Jim Thorpe and see where the Molly Maguires were set on trail. That is a whole experience that you can get. But, you know, let's go back to the original conversation, Jason. What is that one thing that we could leverage? So, for example, Williamsport leverages what? Little League Baseball.
Yep.
Everybody knows Williamsport for Little League Baseball. We're known for coal, but there's so much more. And what is that next one little thing that you can do around here? And I think Planters Peanuts could be certainly a piece of that puzzle.
Are they willing at all to work with the area to preserve part of their history?
We don't know that yet. We're going to outreach. One thing is, I have been contacted by the descendants of the Obiche and Peruzzi's family. They're the co-founders of Planters Peanuts. They've reached out to me and said, yes, we want to help you with this project, because some family members are still here today up in Mountaintop.
Oh, wow. That's great. I'm excited to see where this thing goes. And I know there's other projects. I'll have you back on, because I'd love to talk about some of the other projects you're working on. Before, you guys have plans for the dilapidated train station.
Yes, matter of fact, so the train station is privately owned right now, and we are in negotiations with the private owner of it and to see what potential it could be. What the owner has done for it right now is that it's taken it back to its absolute original 1868 state. Over the years, it was added on to and added on to various restaurants and nightclubs. But now it's back to the size it was in 1868, and we're looking for a tenant for that building.
This is the train station that at one point was, what, Market Street Station? Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
That was a fun place, but the history was lost when you do something like that. So thank you for taking the time. Good talking to you. And
Anytime, Jason.
And again, Tony Brooks, the director of Wilkes-Barre Preservation Society and councilman in Wilkes-Barre, and he got some vision, and I'm happy to share that with you.
More to come on Special Edition.
Next on Special Edition, 7-tier
Don Webster, physician's assistant from MedExpress, tells us about sun safety. Don, we're going to talk about sun safety. And, of course, when some of us were growing up, that wasn't really a concern. But now it is. So let's start with young people, people who are toddlers, people who are infants. What do parents, caregivers have to be cautious about when it comes to that age group and sun safety?
Sure. So really the most important thing when you're talking about anyone who's younger is really making sure they don't get sunburned. So studies have shown that kids who get sunburned do have a higher risk in life of getting skin cancer at some point. So really, besides kind of putting protective clothing on them, so bathing suits now aren't just bathing suits. They call them rash guards, and they're actually a sunscreen clothing that essentially is like a full shirt. It can be long sleeve or short sleeve that works as a bathing suit and as a sunscreen. Besides that, you want to use a sunscreen, and sunscreens come really two different types. There's chemical sunscreens and there's mineral-based sunscreens. So the chemical sunscreens are the sprays that pretty much go on clear, work instantly. The mineral sunscreens are the ones that are the white, the thick, that you really have to rub in. And they really work two different ways. The mineral ones kind of block and absorb the sun rays, whereas the chemical ones scatter it. So they both work. They just work in different ways. And most people for the younger kids do recommend the mineral-based ones over the chemical-based ones.
Is there an age where you should not be using a sunscreen on an infant?
Yes. So there are some sunscreens that say not for use under 6 months of age. So under 6 months of age, you would really just want to keep them in the protective sunscreen clothing or in shade. Or if you could find a mineral-based sunscreen recommended for babies, then that would be fine, too. But you do have to watch, because most of them do say 6 months and above.
All right, let's move up a little bit now. We have the above the toddler age, because we still kind of consider them into the other area. So let's move up into the kids who are, let's say, kindergarten age, a little bit older, when I don't need this stuff. I want to go out and play. So what can you do in order to keep them safe from sunburn? They seem to be one of the hardest group in order to corral them.
They definitely are. But the good news is schools have actually started putting sunscreen on kids, because the kids, they spend a ton of time outside, even in school. And so now most school districts will let you send sunscreen in, and the teachers and the school nurse will help put it on the kids before they go out. So kind of starting those habits then, and making it not an option. Well, if you want to go outside or you want to go in the pool, we have to put the sunscreen on. A lot of times if you make it not an option, then it's kind of better than doing it sometimes and then not doing it sometimes and expecting them to always be willing.
And in their age group too, is it easier, better to go for the spray as opposed to the one that you would put on your hand, or does that make a difference?
I think it's really up to the, you know, depending on the kid. So I'm sure that, you know, if you have a kid that doesn't, you know, want to wear it at all, or some kids even have issues where they're kind of sensitive to certain textures, certain feels, certain smells, those kids may not like the, you know, the heavier creams that you really have to rub in, that you can feel kind of heavier on your skin. So really that's kind of dependent. But yeah, once they're at that age group, they can really use, you know, whatever they'll let you put on them.
All right, let's move into the teenage years. And in teens, I don't know. Do you think that now, because again, I look back at when I was growing up, and as teens, I won't even say that we use things like baby oil, but that would make you cringe. But do you think by this point in time then, with the infants and the toddlers and the kindergarten and the grade schoolers, and now they get to teens, that they're used to it? Or do you think that they've gotten to the point of nothing bad can ever happen to me?
Again, I do think that that's dependent on, you know, the individual. Now, the other thing is, you know, people that really don't burn, that have a naturally darker, you know, shade of skin, they may be able to, you know, get away with, you know, as long as they watch and, you know, kind of get a little bit of a base tan to start, not having to put it on and not really worrying about getting burnt as much. But, you know, those with fair skin really have to watch. And even, you know, as a teen, a lot of times they'll put the sunscreen on because they know how awful those bad burns can feel.
Let's talk about those bad burns. And sometimes, no matter how careful we are, they still happen, whether it's to an ear or whether it's just to an area that we don't really think about very often. So what should we do?
So if it's a minor sunburn, so red, sore, a lot of times the over-the-counter creams are fine. The aloe creams, the cooling lotions, you know, really anything like that is going to help. It's pretty much symptomatic relief. It's going to kind of just cool it down for you. You know, cool cloth, cool compresses, some over-the-counter Advil or Motrin is going to help. But if it's worse than that, if you have blisters or if you start to feel sick, you know, nauseated, chilled, achy, tired, those are signs it could be worse. Or even something like sun poisoning. And in that case, you probably would want to go to, you know, your local MedExpress or your family doctor or your pediatrician.
What about people who are taking medications? And a lot of times you don't even realize that you're taking a medication if you don't read about it that says can cause more of a sun effect or you should avoid the sun. What do you do in that case?
Yeah, so there's a lot of medications and a ton of antibiotics especially that increase your sensitivity to the sun. So people that aren't used to ever burning on this medication could go out in the sun for just a little bit and get a really bad sunburn. So it is really important, you know, if you start taking a new medication to kind of read over it, or if that's something you're worried about, if you're going on vacation, you know, even call the pharmacist. If you've been on it for a couple of days and you're not there, give them a call. Ask them if it's one of the ones that's going to increase your sensitivity. And if so, it's just more important to wear a sunscreen.
And how important is it to be hydrated when you're in the sun? Because, again, that's another one of those things. And when I say hydrated, I mean water.
Correct, yes. So it is important. I mean, if you're just laying in the sun, getting in and out of the pool, you know, drinking water is fine. I mean, just if you're thirsty. But if you're outside working or hiking or you're going to be outside all day, you know, really can get dehydrated quickly, especially if you're not paying attention. So it is kind of important to be diligent about drinking a bottle of water every hour or every 2 hours, just to kind of make sure that doesn't happen.
All right, Dawn, let's put together our sun safety kit. What do we need to have with us when we're going outdoors, whether it's to watch a game, whether it's to a beach, whether it is back and forth to the pool? What should we have with us?
Sure. So the most important thing is to have the sunscreens for your different age groups. So if it's just you, you can pick out whatever sunscreen you like. A lot of people who put on any type of face moisturizer, if it's for daily use, it's going to have a sunscreen in it. So that's another thing you want to take a look at. Women that put moisturizer on their face in the morning, switch to one that has a sunscreen in it. It's going to cut out one step. So make sure you have sunscreen for whoever you're going to be with, so yourself, your kids, your spouse, your significant other. Besides that, sunglasses are always important to have for, you know, being outside, or even a hat if you like to wear hats. And really, that should be about it, unless you're going to be with some specific age groups that, you know, you really have to watch, like the babies and the different people we talked about that have specific needs.
Ready for three weekends of 1776? Adam Randis has the details.
We are indeed. We're going back to Philadelphia in June and July of 1776 to see the birth of our nation.
And give us a little bit about this performance. Now, this is a wonderful musical. It's been done before, but again, you folks are probably going to put your own twist on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a Tony Award-winning production. The PTPA is actually bringing it back. We performed the show in 2012. We have a couple of the same folks from then, but we also have a few more people. We have a cast that stretches from Montgomery County to Northumberland, and takes a lot to get 23 guys on a local community theater stage, along with a couple of others, and we did it. It's a big production, some great musical numbers, and a fascinating story. You don't oftentimes get to see the founding fathers as more than cardboard cutouts or paintings on a wall or pictures in a history book, and these guys are really fully fleshed out. They're warts and all portrayals with singing, so you can't beat that.
Give us a little bit for those of us who may not know exactly what 1776 is all about. Can you kind of put it into a nutshell and from when to when and who's involved and what's it all about?
Sure, absolutely. The play takes place in the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia in that year, and it revolves around the question of whether or not America would declare its independence, and if it did, what sort of a nation would it be? So you get to really see the different factions in the Continental Congress. Sometimes we kind of take for granted that America was just going to be, that it was going to be its own country, that it was going to, you know, be a democracy. But those questions were very much up in the air in that summer of 1776. This kind of this gives you a more human face to those kind of lionized figures like Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin and John Adams, but also brings out a couple of people who have sort of been lost to the popular history in terms of their role in either trying to promote or trying to stop American independence.
And it's also very interesting because you're dealing with the people who, well, they're not really with everybody else, because you would think that everybody'd be saying, yes, let's do this, because they left England, they came here, but there's still some that are dragging their feet.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, even if we talk actually historically, anywhere from one-fifth to one-third of people living in America, in the colonies, were on the side of England at the beginning of, and in some cases throughout the war. So that's something that we don't oftentimes think about. The fact is that the American Revolution was in many ways kind of like it was an English or an English-American civil war. And some of those voices and some of those opinions are even represented in 1776.
It's also very interesting, too, as you mentioned, it is a predominantly male cast, but it's interesting the women who are in the cast and the roles that they take on.
Absolutely. We have the historically accurate and beautiful relationship between John Adams and Abigail, his wife, who is back in their farm in Braintree, right by Boston, Massachusetts. And so much of their dialogue, because they're separated by, you know, what for 1776 was, you know, more than a week's journey, their dialogue actually is done in letters back and forth to each other. And the Adams and Abigail letters have actually been preserved. We actually can go back and read their correspondence with each other and the affection and the love and the fear that they had at the time. And so many of those actual letters were taken by the lyricist Sherman Edwards and the book writer Peter Stone and incorporated into their dialogue and even incorporated into their songs. I think it's one of the great love stories of American history, and 1776 dramatizes that.
And who would have thought you could have had a love song about pens and saltpeter?
And saltpeter, yes. Saltpeter has many uses. But in this case, it was to make gunpowder for their muskets. And then we also have Martha Jefferson, the wife of Thomas, who makes a surprise appearance in the middle of Act One. Don't want to necessarily ruin that one, but she's a wonderful force as well, young, lot of vitality. And she gets to sing a song with Adams and Franklin. That's a nice number. It's a nice love song, dance song, and she gets to put her stamp on her scenes as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And when you say history, people go, ugh. But this is a whole different way. It's one of my favorites, actually, because it is such a nice way, as you mentioned in the very beginning, to really understand. Now, you have to tell us, we've whet everyone's appetite. They want to get there. When and where?
Well, speaking of appetites, for this first weekend only, the PTPA is offering it. All-you-can-eat buffet. For the three weekend shows. So it runs for three weekends altogether. This weekend is Friday and Saturday, the 21st and the 22nd at 7 o'clock, and Sunday the 23rd at 3 o'clock. If you want to get the dinner buffet, you'd have to call ahead of time and reserve at least 24 hours ahead of time. And the number to reserve is 570-454-5451. Leave a message, and somebody at the box office will get back to you. And then for the next two weekends, the show is running show only. So it runs all the way up past the 4th of July, from the 21st this weekend to July 7th, three Sundays hence.
Very appropriate for 1776 to be running past the 4th of July. And the last time we spoke, you were directing. What about this time?
This time I get to be on the stage as John Adams, one of my absolute favorite parts in musical theater, and as a history professor and as an avid student of American history, one of my personal heroes. So there's a lot of satisfaction and a lot of hard work that goes into bringing John Adams to the stage, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's a wonderful role. So much fun. Again, where is the theater?
Theater is downtown Hazleton, the J.J. Ferrara Center. The PTPA, 212 West Broad Street, Hazleton, PA.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories, a production of Intercom Communications.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.